Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The Supreme Court seems divided on a Tennessee law regarding minors. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, the U.S. Supreme Court recently heard oral arguments on the case of United States versus Scrimeti regarding whether a Tennessee law that protects children from harmful puberty blockers, hormones, and irreversible mutilating surgeries is constitutional. The justices focused their questions on a narrow issue, namely the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment, and whether this particular law discriminates on the basis of sex, or whether it makes sex-based classifications. Several justices seem to think that it does. Those are the three justices, Kagan, Sotomayor, and Brown Jackson. But there are four other justices that may have different opinions, and two justices that we just don't know how it's going to come down. So this case is very critical. The justices on the same week that this was heard, they would have met on that Friday after the Wednesday oral argument. They would have cast their votes in a private meeting. And there is some direction that they know which way this decision is coming down. Some justice has been assigned to write this decision, but those particular votes, those decisions, can change and be modified over time between now and the time that the decision is actually released, sometime no later than the end of June 2025.
You know, Matt, it just seems to be a no-brainer. I mean, you don't take healthy body parts off a child that is struggling with emotional, mental problems. The child needs counseling. So you don't go in there and say, okay, this is what's going to help the child. Give it puberty blockers, hormones, and cut off healthy body parts. That's just a given to me. And to find this case here at the Supreme Court is unbelievable to me. I mean, Tennessee did the right thing. They passed a law. They banned that medical mutilating surgeries and those procedures on children. But yet the Biden administration came back and sued them because of that, even though, and we've talked about this, the CAS report is thousands and thousands of studies showing that is not an answer to these children. There's no evidence that these procedures reduce suicide. These are harmful things for children. Yet they seem to kind of skate over that report during the 2.5 hour argument.
Well, the report was mentioned, but here's a narrow question that's going to be addressed. What is the standard of review for this case? The lower court of appeals, the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, upheld both Kentucky and Tennessee laws involving these kinds of scenarios. And Tennessee's law is called the Save Adolescents from Experimentation Act, and that's called SAFE for short. That's SB1. It was enacted in 2023. Every court of appeals, and there's multiple court of appeals now, that have considered very similar laws have upheld every one of these laws, saying that the state has a right to protect children, because obviously the state has a right over minors that it doesn't have a right over adults. For example, minors can't purchase certain things. They can't consent to medical treatment without some adult supervision. They can't sign contracts until they're 18 or in some cases 21. So there's a lot of reasons why states have more interest in protecting minors. Also, states and the federal government already have an interest in regulating prescribed medications. So when you add those two together, the lower courts, the courts of appeal, have ruled that this is reviewed under what's called a rational basis. Is there any rational basis that the state has been able to provide to support the reasons for these laws? And the rational basis test is the lowest standard. It's easy for a state to meet that standard because they can show any rational basis, even though the complaining party, the plaintiffs in this case, can present arguments that may contradict the state. As long as the state has at least a rational basis, notwithstanding other arguments to the contrary, the state wins. So it's the lowest level of review. That's what the lower courts have done. The question here is this, quote, sex-based classification? Mm-hmm. And if it is, then it doesn't have the lowest level of review, rational basis. It goes to what's called an intermediate level of review, and that would be this intermediate level that requires the state to present more to defend itself than just a rational basis or a rational reason for the law. So that's really the question. And so if Tennessee loses this, what would ultimately happen likely is it would go back down to trial. Tennessee would then have to go through a trial and present its reasons that are just more than a rational basis, a higher standard, as to why this law is permissible. It is not impermissible to classify on the basis of sex. Whenever you do classify on the basis of sex, however, you need to have more than a rational basis. You need to have some other compelling reasons mm-hmm. for why that classification is necessary for the state's interest.
You know, you look at it from a legal perspective, but I think bottom line, it's about protecting children. And I think it's horrific that these parents, you know, have come to court with their children advocating in order to mutilate them. I mean, we have at least 26 states now that ban these experimental procedures on minors, as well as other European countries are getting the truth out there and stopping this madness.
No, I agree with you. It's certainly that is an issue. But from a legal standpoint, that's really the argument that this focused on before the United States mm-hmm. Supreme Court. And so that is really the question. What's the level of review? And the Department of Justice, particularly the Solicitor General, was very astute in trying to thread the needle to save this case.
Right.
They've actually admitted likely that a similar law in West Virginia would probably be able to stand. But they say this law should not be able to stand. And their argument was somewhat deceptive. And their argument is this. A male boy could get testosterone for various kinds of medical reasons, but that same male boy couldn't get estrogen because that person wants to identify as a girl. Or the girl can get estrogen hormones for certain kinds of medical reasons, for a medical purpose, but that same girl could not get testosterone if she wanted to, quote, identify as a boy. So consequently, whether you can get one of these drugs, this hormone, versus the other hormone, is based upon your sex. However, that's just with regards to the hormones. Regards to puberty blockers, that applies across the board. Mm-hmm. Puberty blockers are both for boys and girls, and there's no difference between the two. And what that does is have a harmful effect. I wish the state would have focused a little bit more on the puberty blockers.
Yeah.
Because that certainly doesn't depend upon whether you're male or female, rather than what the United States Department of Justice focused on, and that is hormones, testosterone versus estrogen. And so that's really where they tried to focus, and they tried to say, well, it's sex-based. On the other hand, there are four justices that I think are going to side with Tennessee. Namely, they referred in part, specifically Alito, to the Cass report.
Right.
They referred to all of this other burgeoning report that's coming across the world, where there's a lot of opposition that is developing globally and in the United States to these kinds of drugs, particularly for minors. You have Chief Justice John Roberts, Thomas, Alito, and Justice Kavanaugh. I think all four of those will, based upon their questions,
you feel confident
side
with
yeah. Tennessee.
Okay.
On the other hand, I think there's three that are on the opposite side, and that would be Kagan, Sotomayor, and Brown Jackson.
And Gorsuch didn't ask any questions, which is
Gorsuch
quite
didn't
puzzling.
Ask any questions, and that's really puzzling,
yeah.
And it's kind of disturbing,
yeah,
because he's the one who wrote the Bostock decision,
right?
And then so we don't know what he's going to do because we have no idea what his thinking is on this. Mm-hmm. And then you have the next one, which would be Barrett. And I wish Barrett would have asked some better questions, but she seemed to be somewhat hostile to some of the state's arguments, which made me concerned. Mm. So I know we have, based upon the count, 4-3. And the real question is, where is Barrett and where is Gorsuch on the final vote? One of those could make it 5-4, but two of those, on the other hand, could make it 5-4 striking down this particular law, or at least sending the case back. It's a big, big case.
Oh, absolutely.
Other questions, Holly, were raised about what the impact of this would be on girls and sports.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big case. So continue to pray for it. United States versus Scametti. Liberty Counsel filed a brief in this case, urging the court to uphold the law. Clearly states, as you said, Holly, have a right to be able to protect children. This is about protecting children and stopping this experimental treatment and medical mutilation. For more information, go to lc.org/helpkids.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.